In fact, Brother Henry, thank you for last Sabbath as well. Appreciated that very much. Peace on earth. What a time for peace to be proclaimed, isn't it? After all, as we just read in our scripture reading this morning, found in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, reading from the King James Version, it says, "And the very God of peace." The very God of what? Peace. What did this God of peace do? It says, "This very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Now that's W-H-O-L-L-Y, not H-O-L-Y, okay? "And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I'd like to add verse 24 to this. It says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." What is Paul trying to tell us here about this God? Number one, he is a God of what? Peace. Okay? This God is not only a God of peace, but because he is a God of peace, he is interested in your whole being. And here we see it, as Paul writes it here, your whole spirit and soul and body, your whole being complete in Jesus. So that, as he says here, to be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we looking for the second coming of Jesus today? Amen. Amen? What about tomorrow? Yes. We, as a people who have the audacity to call ourselves Seventh-day Adventists, people who believe in the seventh-day Sabbath and the second advent of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul wants us to know that God, as we are waiting for the second coming of his son, Jesus, he wants us to be blameless. Oh, I'll be honest with you. I struggled with this verse many times. I used to argue with God, "Lord, you know I cannot be blameless." And he says, "Yes, you're right." And I says, "Thank you for agreeing with me." But this God, who is a God of peace, who not only says, "I will sanctify you so that you will be blameless," and he says, "I can do it for you." And I'm saying, "Huh? You mean I can be blameless before you?" And this God says, as she said, "Yes, but not without me." In fact, what I have to say this morning to you this morning is kind of a repeat of the Sabbath school lesson. When the pastor asked me about a month ago if I would speak today, I wasn't aware of what the Sabbath school lesson was all about. And then as I was looking at the lesson, I said, "Wow, that's my sermon." So, forgive me if you hear the same thing as we heard in Sabbath school this morning. But if you're like myself, we need to be constantly reminded, don't we? Ask my wife that. She'll tell you, "Yep, Pat needs to be reminded." Another thing that Paul is telling us about this God here in this one verse is that God is faithful. God is what?
Faithful.
So he's not only a God of peace. He not only wants you and I to be blameless. He not only wants you and I to be sanctified, but he wants us to be faithful as he is faithful. Will God keep his promise?
Always.
Say that a little bit more evangelistically, sister.
Always.
Always. God is always faithful, just as he is always peaceful, just as he has always has this strong desire for you and I to be with him through all eternity. How many of you want to be with God all through all eternity? I know I do. And I don't want to be there by myself. And I don't want you to be there and not see me. That could happen, you know. And that's why we need to, as I entitled my sermon this morning, to be growing in Jesus. And this is not just on Saturday, the seventh day of the week. It is 24/7. How long? How often? 24/7. I need to be growing in Jesus. So that this God of peace, this God who is faithful, is able, as he says in Jude verse 24, he is able to keep, and I invite you to put your name in scripture wherever possible. In Jude verse 24, it says, he is able to keep Pat from falling. He is able to keep you from falling. Put your name there, because that promise is for you, it's for me. A God who said, I am able. The only problem is me. I don't always let God be able. I struggle with this. As I mentioned last Sabbath, there's a time in my life where I struggled with my relationship with Jesus. I allowed the things of this world to distract me and to take my focus off of Jesus. And mind you, I was headed out of the church. Okay? So as even as head out of the church at that time, I personally was struggling with my relationship with Jesus. But as I continued going to church, giving Bible studies, I was doing all the right things, but again, for the wrong reasons. Just because I was the head elder. You know, the head elder, Brother Cleveland, you're in the hot spot. People are watching you. As I said last Sabbath, look at that guy. He's not only a Seventh-day Adventist, but he's the head elder of the church. You know what I saw him doing this past week? Been there, done that. And as I came across this verse over and over, for whatever reason, God kept pointing this one verse out to me. Pat, I am a God of peace, and I want you to be at peace with me. Therefore, I want to sanctify you. I want to make you holy. Not just in spirit, not just in soul, but in body. I want you to be holy completely, to be complete in me. As we read in Matthew 5, verse 48, where Jesus said, be ye therefore, some of you know it, holy or perfect, as I am perfect. Okay? Be ye therefore perfect. And again, these verses, I said, Lord, you got to be kidding me. You know how sinful I am. And God would always say to me, Pat, you know how much I love you, how much I want you to be with me through all eternity. I have provided a way for you to be perfect as I am perfect in character. I have made it a way for you to be with me through all eternity, along with whoever accepts me as Lord and Savior. I struggled with this, folks, because there was a part of me that wanted to be me, not Jesus. You know, as we are coming to the close of the year, very quickly, I encourage you, whether, no matter what kind of relationship you have with Jesus right now, it is imperative that you spend time with Jesus. Amen. And if you think you have been spending a lot of time with Jesus, spend more time with Jesus. I'm serious about this, folks. Yes. Because He is coming. Amen. He wants to come for you. He wants to come for me. Are we going to let Jesus do just that? Yes. This verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, I pondered over for many, many months. And as I looked at the previous verses of verse 23, you know, you get up to verse 17. Sister Helene, during Sabbath school this morning, brought up how can we grow in Jesus? How can we maintain our relationship with Jesus? And in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, it says to pray without what? Ceasing. In other words, what Paul is simply saying here in this one little verse is stay connected with Jesus. And if you haven't found out how important that is yet, I encourage you to stay with Jesus by talking story with Him constantly. As I began to grow in Jesus in my own life, one of my pastors once said to me, Pat, how often do you pray? And I have to confess, not much. Not much. And I was kind of ashamed to say that to him, but like I said, I was head elder of the church at that time. And he says, Pat. In fact, he said, Brother Pat. I remember he put his arms around my shoulder and clutched me close to him. He says, Brother Pat, as close as you and I are right now, you and I need to be closer to Jesus. I'll never forget that. It's one pastor. Pastor Don Driver. He's retired right now. He lives up in Idaho. But he helped me to see that just because I was head out of the church, it didn't mean I was going to be saved. It didn't mean I had a spot in heaven, in the New Jerusalem. He made it very clear to me, as he explained about his own life. I thought I had it bad. But as he shared his own personal experience with me, I began to see more and more the fact that I need to be in Jesus. Amen. After all, didn't Jesus say, abide where? In me. And I in you. Jesus wants to do that so, so much, folks. Because he knows our struggles. And he knows that if I am not abiding in him and he in me, I, Pat, is going to fail 100%. And I've seen it happen too many times. Too many times. But as we abide with Jesus, he enables us to become the new creatures that he wants us to be. 2 Corinthians verse 5 verse 17, where it says, if any man be where? Some of you know it. If any man be in Christ, what is he? A new creation or a new creature. What happens to the old things? Gone. All things become new. The old way of life, my old way of saying I'm a Christian, but not living as a Christian, is gone. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Guess what? In case you didn't, don't believe it, God said it, not me. So I encourage you to believe it. The old life is gone. The new life with Jesus begins. The new life of, as Jesus said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, be ye therefore holy as, some of you know it, I am holy. I'll be honest with you, that's another verse I struggled with for a long, long time. I said, Lord, you got to be kidding. Me holy? But yet God said it. God said, Pat, I want you to be holy because I am holy. And you don't know how many times I argued with God about that one, just that one verse. Until I stumbled upon our scripture reading for today, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Seeing how much God wants my whole being to be sanctified, to be holy, so that I will be a living example of who my God is. So that wherever Pat goes, wherever you go, people will see who? Jesus. People need to see Jesus, folks. And if there's no better time, it's now. People need to see Jesus in you, in me, so that they too will have the beautiful opportunity of saying, yes, I want Jesus too. Yes, there's going to be those that will say, no way, that's not for me. You will always have that. But nevertheless, because you and I are in Christ, we need to give others the same beautiful privilege of being in Jesus. And let them make their own decision. Because you know we can't do it for them as much as we would love to. So, here we have it. In Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14, the scriptures tells us, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And I love verse 14. For sin, for what? Sin shall not have dominion or power or control over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. In other words, because of our constant praying and connection with heaven, abiding in Christ, and becoming that new creature that he wants us to be, We are no longer committing acts of sin because, as we just read in verse 14, sin doesn't have any control. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you would like to see that in your life? I know I do. And I pray that for you as well. That sin will no longer have control over each of our lives. So that as we live from day to day, moment by moment, we will live Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Committing ourselves to Him 100%. Now in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it reads, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Now, just because we know we have an advocate between us and God the Father, it doesn't give us an excuse for our sinning. Amen? We have no excuse. If we have the audacity to call ourselves Christians, if I have the audacity to call myself a head elder, as I was at one time, before I fully retired, I need to be in Jesus. I have no excuse. After all, I said to myself one day, "Pat, you preached it, now live it." By God's grace, yes, we live the life that God wants us to live. Now, I can argue and say, "Well, hey, He'll forgive me again." Is that true? Will God forgive us again if I continue in sin? Only if I do what? As I turn away from it, ask for His grace, for His strength to walk in His ways. Ask Him for forgiveness, and He will forgive. And it's up to me to walk with Jesus all over again. Amen?
Amen.
After all, in 1 Peter verse 1, verse 16, I used to struggle with this verse over and over again. "Be ye therefore holy, I says, Lord, you got to be kidding me. Me be holy? And again, I began to realize and ask myself this question. Would God ask me to be something He knows I cannot be? Say that a little bit more evangelistically, sister. No. God will never ask us to be something He knows we cannot be. Amen? So when God says, "I want you, Pat, to be holy," He means it.
Yes.
Now what needs to happen? It's up to Pat, as sister said, to walk with Him. What does that mean? To walk with Jesus. Come on, you Adventists. What does it mean to walk with Jesus? To do as He does, to walk with Him all the time, to be with Jesus all the time, to sleep with Jesus, eat with Jesus, work with Jesus, drive with Jesus.
And He has promised us, "You can do everything with Me. Without Me, you can do nothing."
Where is that? Philippians 4:4?
Yes.
I can do how much?
All things.
How? Through Christ who strengthens me. How many of you believe that? I, this sinner, can do all things that's good and righteous in Christ, through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Yes. The problem is, Pat wants to do what Pat wants to do. And the way Pat wants to do it. And it's up to me again, as I struggle with that, to surrender. Give God a little more, say that a little bit more evangelistically, sister.
Submission.
Submission.
Submission to the Lord.
Yes. Submission. Submitting ourselves to God. And his promise is, the devil does what?
Flees.
He disappears. Like a dog with his tail between his legs. Yes, he is. But do we believe that?
Yes.
Okay? The problem is sometimes we don't let him be defeated. Okay? Yes, been there, done that. Too many times. But praise God for his patience with someone like myself. And as I've lived from day to day, again, Pat needs to choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. And I encourage you to do the same, folks. Choose Jesus. So that God, the God of peace, will sanctify you wholly. Wholly. Every fiber of your body is sanctified by the power of God. Do you want to see that happen in your life? I know I want to see it continue in my life and in yours as well. So that as we await the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will be a living testimony to those around us of the God we claim to love and serve. Are you willing to fully, and I mean 100%, not 99.999%, 100% surrender to Jesus,
yes,
along with myself.
Yes.
So that when he does come in the clouds of glory, he will say, she read my notes. Thou good and faithful servant. Oh yes, come. Come. God wants to say that to each of us this morning. Come. Are you going to allow him to lead you?
Yes.
So that when he does say come,
yes.
Oh, folks, I cannot wait for that day to come. I don't know about you, but I've seen too many things in life that can distract us from this beautiful God. But I've also come to know the power of this God that is able to keep people like you and I in his embrace so that we will not stumble. Again, this is his promise, not mine. He says, Pat, stay with me. What does it say there in John 15? Abide where? In me and I in you. And the promise is that as Pat abides in him and he in Pat, or yourself, will not stumble. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Oh, come on. Do you really believe that?
Yes.
Not so sure about that. Folks, all things is possible with God, including you and I living like Jesus. So as this year is coming to a close very, very quickly, I don't even want to see the end of 2025 come, let alone even the beginning. I would love to see Jesus come quickly, now. How about you? Let's live Jesus. Let's proclaim Jesus. Wherever we go, let's share Jesus. So that when he does come in the clouds of glory, you will not be standing there by yourself while he is coming from the clouds of glory. But there will be this massive throng of people with you. Amen?
Amen.
People that have also had their struggles in life, but people that have fully surrendered to Jesus. And hallelujah. Oh, folks, I can't wait for that to take place. Quick story in closing. Back in November, I was here to speak. And afterwards, I'm sorry, that was the last Sabbath of November. But previous to that Sabbath, my wife and I had gone to Vegas to be with her brother for the Thanksgiving holiday. And some of you met Brother Fred. We brought him here the Sabbath before, I believe it was Thanksgiving, and to worship here with us, with you. And Fred had gotten sick. And so he didn't go with us to Vegas. And we left on Wednesday, came back on Friday afternoon to Corona. The next day, November 30th, Sabbath, we were here. When we went home, we found that Brother Fred had gone to sleep. And I pray that he went to sleep in Jesus. Why do I share this? Simply because we don't know the future. It is vital that you and I maintain a constant relationship with Jesus. Constant. 24/7. And if you can do it more constant than that, by all means, do it. Because we never know when we will breathe our last breath. Because when we do, we either breathe that last breath in Jesus or not with Jesus. And it's my hope and prayer that it is with Jesus. So that when he does come, we will, as one happy family, be resurrected and come forth with not the sickly bodies that we may have right now. I don't know if I share with you, I don't have fingers on my left hand because of carelessness at the age of 10 years old. But I say, hey, Lord, I'm looking forward to having fingers on my hand again. Wouldn't that be nice, Lord? And he says, by all means, Pat, I'm looking forward to doing that for you. Just stick it out with me.
Yes.
Are you, am I, willing to stick it out with Jesus?
Yes.
To let him do his mighty work that he wants to do in us. So that we will not just be by ourselves worshiping here on Sabbath to Sabbath, but that this body of believers will grow. Amen? To the point where you will need to build another church. Amen. If we are here that long. If we are here that long, folks, we need to see another church in this community of Vista. Bursting at the seams. People not just waiting to see Jesus, but actively proclaiming his message, his love. Are you, am I, willing to do just that? I encourage you this morning that as we celebrate the last Sabbath of the year 2024, that we do it with Jesus. Do it with Jesus. There's no other way. This morning, Jesus wants to be your shepherd. Not just on Sabbath morning, not just when you may have your own private devotions, but 24/7. He wants to be your shepherd. And I invite you to stand with me as we sing our closing hymn this morning, Savior Like a Shepherd. Hymn number 545. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us, please, lead us.